welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, New Zealand's only full-time conspiracy talk radio. And incidentally, it's only being broadcast in America. Don't you love that? Okay, speaking of New Zealand and America and the things that relate, we have my very special colleague, friend, and other very, you know, positive, nice adjectives, guest on here for the moment, Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com and RealGorillaMedia.com. And before we go to her for a second, I just wanted to make a quick announcement. Those of you who are subscribers to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, I think there might be two of you left. A whole lot of people have cancelled their subscription to the Vinnie Eastwood Show because of the PayPal worries that we've had over the last couple of days. I've sent out a number of emails and things like that, and thank you for listening to me when I told you to cancel. Now the sort. Everything is all sorted. So if you want to go to the homepage, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, just down on the left there, I think scroll down just a tiny bit, and down on the left there underneath where it says, you know, we accept donations and what have you, there are two new PayPal buttons there. Buy now if you want to make a donation between $5 and $100 or whatever. And the subscribe button if you want to donate regularly. And I will be available for comment on this as well if you want to email me and sort out some kind of a refund if you want from the previous account. I can refund stuff from that previous account, but I can't do anything else with that. So there's the housekeeping done. And we also have Rupert Quaintance coming on the show today. In fact, we could probably bring him up right now, I guess. Suzanne, while we're waiting for Rupert. Rupert, are you there, mate? No, it had a bit of a drop-off. Okay, Suzanne, news. Cyprus, the frickin' scumbaggery. Dig this.
Yeah. over the past weekend, government said, well, they took a bailout, or they were going to take a bailout from the IMF, and in order to pay it back, they were going to siphon out money from people's private checking accounts, a percentage. If you had a deposit, if you made a deposit and it was a low amount, it would be 6.75%. If it was a higher amount, it would be 9.9%. And so everyone ran to the ATMs. One guy got a bulldozer and tried to bulldoze the front of the bank to get in there. The banks closed their doors. They ran the ATMs dry. And then the government said, we're not going to take the bailout from the IMF. They went ahead and said, we're not going to do it. Russia has decided to help them out. And the finance minister from Cyprus is now speaking with the finance minister from Russia, and they're working out the details. The IMF is really upset, and the European Central Bank is very upset. And in mainstream media here in the United States, they're talking about how horrible it is that this is happening, what a bad deal this is. But really it boils down to Russia has a lot of money in Cyprus banks. And they're in talks of purchasing the popular bank in Cyprus, which is owned by the government. And the Cyprus government is talking about trading some of their natural gas reserves in order to help pay for the bailout that Russia will give them. So they're doing some barter and trading, and they're walking away from the IMF. Christine Lagarde actually had her house raided by the French police on an unrelated charge, and is under suspicion of doing some bad things, but of course she's part of the IMF, so she does bad things all day long. But it's also in New Zealand. And I wrote the article and put it up today. The finance minister in New Zealand said, hey, what's going on in Cyprus sounds like a good deal. Let's do that too. Let's take money out of people's banks.
The finance minister, Bill English, I'm familiar with him. I It really annoys me that New Zealanders think that their politicians have brains. You know, they frickin' they've got evil, and that's it. Okay, they've managed to squeeze out every other part of their personality and just leave, you know, just this pure evil in there, you know, and this pure manipulative ability.
Oh yes, we're going to make sure that all the slaves and serfs bail out our banks.
And speaking of which, evil cackles. We have Rupert Quaintance on the line. Rupert, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, sir.
Mm-mm. How's it going, man?
It's going good. How's it going with you?
I don't know how to answer that question, honestly. I'm a little conflicted.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about this the Cyprus bank bailout type of thing. Now, isn't it one of the most sickening things that you could ever think of, and so obviously tyrannical, that you would steal the people's money, like the government would steal the people's money out of their own bank accounts in order to give it to private banks? What the hell is that? You know, in what universe does this make any kind of sense? You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You just, and I was just thinking about this morning, and maybe the both of you might be able to comment on this. Let's just thinking about this. Hold on a second. When was the last time I actually got out of my house, you know, and instead of just doing this radio show and exposing scumbaggery on here, when was the last time I actually got in the face of one of these scumbags? When was the last time I actually stopped anything from happening? When was the last time I actually informed people who didn't already know what was going on about the truth and things like this? And the answer is I haven't done it very much at all.
Well, it takes all types, Vinny. Don't get down on yourself. I do the same thing, too, man. I make my videos, I put them up, and I'm not really doing much, you know, community activism. There's certain people got mouths, some people got cameras and bullhorns. It's just it's all kinds of us, man.
Yeah, some people got mouths, some people got balls. Well, see, again, the coolest stuff that you ever get on camera is when you're actually there in the middle of the action, isn't it?
Yep.
You know, at the protests and things like that. Yeah, we could talk till we're blue in the face on the radio all day long, but it doesn't have that air of action, you know, that awesomeness.
Well, like, if you get a breaking news story that people haven't heard before, that can be even better than the live shot, because you, radio guy, are leaving it up to the people's imagination a little bit. That's if you find, like, a juicy tidbit that you know something about that you can, like, throw out there. But to answer your question, and then I hope the question is also answered by the other guests, but it doesn't make sense in any universe to do that. It's just you would have to convince everyone all at once that it's wrong. And they think it's right because greed is kind of written into the code of the dollar. The greed is pretty much how everyone keeps stepping on each other's face and stuff. So when you look at it, when you're one of these guys that's like moved up into the company, you've been taught your whole life that the bottom line is the most important thing. You've never even been shown a human being and how the human being equates into that. So it's not so much just one guy sitting there. It's just a bunch of dumb people sitting there doing what they were told to do.
Yeah, retarded automatons with pens who control retarded automatons with guns. Isn't that interesting?
No, there's a lot of them with pens, though.
Yeah. Hey, with honestly, like, the founding documents of our countries, right? You know, like, the New Zealand founding document was come up with over a series of weeks and things like that in order to have, you know, like, one document that was easily understandable by all and, like, two pages or whatever in the New Zealand Treaty of Waitangi here. And then, yeah, jump forward to today. And the irrational party, or rather the National Party, who's in charge of the government right now, whose leader is a former Federal Reserve banker who was a Merrill Lynch's representative for 2 years for the European bond and derivatives trade. Dude, they've been passing minimum two whole laws per day, okay? And they've been in power for what, now, since 2008, I think? Or even earlier? Like, oh, my God. Does that mean they've come up with literally 1,000 laws at this point? More than 1,000. Like, 2,000 laws in the space of a couple of years, where the founding documents took a couple of weeks and they kind of still sit pretty today. There's a massive disparity there. And I wonder just what is being put into all this kind of legislation. I'm sure it's the exact same in the States. What do you reckon, Suzanne?
Oh, yeah. Well, Obama just writes an executive order. He makes the threat, if you don't do what I say to the Congress, I'm going to write an executive order, and then he does it. And so he doesn't care what our system of government is. He doesn't care about the checks and balances. He just writes an executive order, and he gets what he wants.
Yeah. Well, in New Zealand, what they do is they say, we're going to pass it under urgency, right? Like, that means that everybody has to be stuck in Parliament until they pass the law. Basically, that's it. We're doing it under urgency. And they do weird things under urgency, man, like practically everything, like mandatory chipping of cattle or something. Oh, my God, it's so urgent.
That sounds like duress.
Yeah. And the worst part is most of the parliamentarians aren't freaking there when they pass these laws. There's like a dozen people in the House out of 100-plus possible representatives.
They really know
the
when to put it in
not
there.
Being passed. The law's not even being passed by people who got elected and represented. They're being passed by a dozen representatives of the representatives who got elected. You've got to be freaking kidding me. It's like the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 gets passed by like six people who weren't on holiday and Christmas yet.
Yeah.
That's when to vote. If you want something to go through, that's when you do it.
Yeah.
Or the NDAA, when we're all celebrating New Year's Eve and having a drink, and by the way, all of our freedoms are gone in the next day.
Yeah. And the rate that they're writing legislation now, I mean, you know, old laws are very easy to understand, allegedly, you know. Like, I had a pastor on the show once, guys, and he said to me, look, this is a book of law here, okay? You can fit it between two fingers. You cannot fit the Patriot Act in between those two fingers. Heck, you need practically some kind of a forklift in order to pick up this legislation. You know, it's ridiculous. It's beyond a joke. How in the hell has everything gotten so convoluted so quickly and so easily? And the answer is people don't read anymore. And all the, I mean, look at it this way. What if laws were done as YouTube videos instead? Okay? And people could actually vote on them. Like, here's the legislation, et cetera, in plain, simple English. I don't know if anybody here has actually ever read a piece of legislation before, but it doesn't make any sense. It's convoluted, BS, wank, okay? I cannot come up with a more appropriate word for how legislation is currently conceived and written about other than the word wank. It's just that simple. It's beyond comprehension. You don't have any freaking clue what the hell they're talking about. You know, like, you're sitting there, you're reading this, and you go, speak English, motherfucker! You know, I don't get it. How can people...
Ooh.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we've only got about 45 seconds left in the segment. Suzanne, have you got any final words?
Get your money out of the bank. For the love of God, I've been saying it for like 9 months now. It's safer underneath your mattress than it is in the bank.
It's safer underneath your mattress while your house is burning down than in a bank.
Yes, right. Buy the wallet that Christopher Dorner had. It's industrial.
Yeah. Have some kind of I don't know. You can actually feed it to your dog, you know. Feed your Federal Reserve bank notes to your dog, and when it poos them out the other end, it would actually probably be just as useful at the same time frame as the money that you've still got left in the bank. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm just feeling a bit silly today. All right, Suzanne Posel, thank you very much for joining us. And Rupert Quaintance is my guest for the remainder of this first hour here. Suzanne, thank you very much, and fare thee well. She does a lot of articles. I don't have time to read them. In fact, I don't even have much time to read anything. In fact, if I'm on somebody's mailing list, please take me off it. I'm not reading it. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, to the show that you cannot hide from unless you do something very simple, click the pause button. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island change nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy because everybody now got a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. My very special guest is Rupert Quaintance from Hi, It's Rupert. Now, what were we talking about over the break? Oh, yes.
Hello, my name is Eric Cartmanis. I'm here to teach you calculus. How do I reach these kids?
And he doesn't watch South Park, Rupert doesn't, ladies and gentlemen, but, you know, there was an episode where Eric Cartman becomes a fake teacher or whatever, and he gets sent to an inner-city school, you know, with really rough kids and stuff like that, and he teaches them how to cheat on all of their tests and everything like that. And he brings up all these examples of all these American sports stars, politicians, and celebrities and things like that that have succeeded only through cheating as the good reason why everybody should learn how to cheat and cheat as hard as they can. Oh, man. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Well, anyway, Rupert, what's been happening with you, man?
What is up, my man?
Yeah.
Sometimes your accent gets me a little bit. What did you just ask me?
I said, what's up with you?
What's up with me, man? The same old thing, just working and making videos and stuff like that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can understand that, man.
Are we going to do the... Because I've been known to get stuck in that accent. You don't want me to do that. Be sitting here all day, like, talking about myself like this, man.
Maybe we should, I said.
I don't know if I could keep it up there, Vinny.
It's a kind of a scratchy thing, you know, like it's a Cheech Marin thing, I think, you know.
A lot of
you
people have to... do that, have that kind of vibration. Like Alex Jones, he's like, listen, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, well, I found the best way to clear your throat is to do an Alex Jones impression, particularly if you say the word derivatives. So if you say derivatives, throat's clear.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So at what point, let me ask you something, at what point does all of this just, because I think it has driven you completely mad. It has driven me past the point of madness, at least. At first, you're just kind of mad about it, and then you realize, no. Nobody else around you is seeming to care as much as you.
Well, you know, I've
like that.
What do you mean, bro? Could you redefine the question?
Well, just the ability. People don't seem to have the ability to read between the lines with the news. They still think it's real. You know, they still care about football and all that crap that doesn't really matter, like clothes and, you know, shiny objects that have.
See, I don't know about you, but I don't hang out with any of those people for that very reason. Is that they don't know what the hell they're talking about, and they don't know what the hell they're even doing. They don't even understand what it is they're watching. They don't even know the history behind where the games came from or anything like that. I do. So instead of sitting there going, I don't know. Wait, is that an impression of a football fan these days? I don't know. It sounds like somebody with a low IQ. Maybe they're the same thing. The whole point is, mate, you got to prioritize who you're hanging with, yo. okay? There's 7 billion people on this planet. 7 billion? Why right, but waste second of your time with people who ain't worth it?
So what? Yeah, like you hang out in a bar full of people who are all like you?
No. I hang out in the bar with a couple people like me and don't talk to the rest of them other than jovial kind of, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's about it.
So you're kind of a clicky guy. You're real clicky. Like you're not trying to...
Now, you'll be surprised how many people I can click with.
No, I'm not doubting that. I'm just saying when I'm in the bar, I try not to cling to any one particular segment of people. That way, if a fight breaks out, no one will know what to do with me. Be like, listen, go home. Are you also an extrovert?
I'm pretty extroverted, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can get along with pretty much anybody. Like that's kind of one of my innate talents. My father had the same thing, you know, you can just strike up a conversation and make a friendship within minutes. And another part of it is just being able to relate to people. You know, even people who have really nothing in common with me, I can still find common ground somehow. I don't know how the hell I do it, but I do it. And the key is just to basically have some empathy for some people. Just because they're working a slave job, have no idea that 9/11 is an inside job, planning on going to some kind of illustrious sporting event where they will learn nothing about the game other than who won and by how much, doesn't mean they're a bad person. And as I recall, most people who are awake, you know, in inverted commas, awake today, walking the earth, were once like that. And what happens is once you awaken, you begin to hold a pin on your fellow man and saying, oh, and I think my producer said this to me the other day. He said, I think whoever's woken up already is it, you know, and whoever hasn't woken up is never going to wake up. I said to him, look, bro, when did you wake up? And he goes, oh, about 1995. And I go, okay, see, before 1995, you were just as much of a dumb slave sheeple as the rest of them, yet you woke up. So you can't say with certainty that people aren't going to wake up. Hope springs eternal. And I think if you really focus on the good in people, you wind up living a happier life and you wind up getting more people interested in the truth and doing the right thing. But you've got to really lead by example.
That's completely true. Like, I completely agree with you. And that's like a heavy responsibility if you think about it.
Well, see, you know, there's a trouble in this movement of getting jaded and turning into a troll. I think that's really it.
Well, I think the reason that I contacted you is that I saw this. Like, did you see that video that somebody made where they, like, took all your baddest little moments and or like, out of context and strung them all together and said that you had been exposed? Did you see that?
Oh, yes.
I was like, oh, my God, I know Vinny. And he's completely being taken out of context. So I think that's one of the reasons I asked to be on again. Because I saw that. I was just like, it just reminded me of just you as a person, really. You know, so I was just like, hey, I gotta holler at Vinny about this. Like, what?
That's yeah.
Pretty, who likes you that much that they're sitting there like grabbing and sticking all of your worst bits together? That's awful.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to talk about it, honestly, Rupert, well, because...
I mean, I have a habit of bringing up things people don't want to talk about. I mean, that's my whole gig.
Yeah, well, it's just, it's when I attacked this person, I didn't do it on radio, okay? I only did it on YouTube, where my following's much, much, much lower. Because I didn't want this to turn into a, you know, an on-air Shiite Muslim fight, as it were. Basically, look, you listeners, I know a lot of you personally. And I know that you don't like truth or infighting, and I know you really, really just can't stand it, and I know that you switch off. Hence, we don't want to talk about it on air. You know, off air, doing a little video thing, fine. But the rest of it, like, I've had a number of videos of this person on my YouTube channel, almost every single one of which, they do privacy complaints against them, so I have to remove them. So basically, last night I just like was really ticked off at these privacy complaints on these videos. Even his videos exposing me, I put up on my YouTube channel because I believe in transparency. He claimed privacy on those.
He's trolling you hard, dude.
Yeah. So I put it up on Facebook and said, you know, everybody, you've got to expose this guy and download these videos and re-upload them to your own channel so he can't do nothing about it. And then about a minute later, after talking to one of my Aussie listeners, Glenn, who's a good friend of mine, I said, you know what? He's right, because he's talking about the truth is airing their dirty laundry and how he doesn't like it. So I deleted those two posts and privated all of the videos so that he can't do privacy complaints, but nobody else can watch them either. That's how little I care about this person and what they do to me. I just want to completely delete it as if it doesn't exist.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know it was all that. I wouldn't have brought it up, man.
Yeah.
See, well, now I know.
I don't bring it up.
All right.
Yeah.
But, you know. You're a funny guy.
Well, see, this is how you're supposed to deal with people who are you know, well, again, like we were saying before about, you know, hanging out in your clique or whatever. Basically, you've got to also get rid of people who are toxic, who have no benefit for your life. Who have literally nothing better to do than, as you said, sit around trying to cut out little bad bits of things that I've said taken out of context. Those kind of people are not the kind of people that you want to reply to. Those kind of people are the ones that you don't want to remain unblocked. So, you know, I did a post about that, and somebody give me some kind of insult. I think he said fracking retards or something like that. Fracking being the euphemism, of course. Uh-huh. And then after I deleted the thread, he goes, why did you delete the thread? What was it? Ass twat, he called me. And I don't know what an ass twat was. Well, was it that good. Kind of like where the ass and the twat kind of merges through some kind of Fukushima radiation mutation, and so it develops into a sexual organ that smells of poo? I don't know what that is.
Definitely overthinking it a little bit.
Maybe. But again, I tried to argue with this person and said, what are you talking about? And then he accused me of not knowing anything about being a journalist. And so I asked him what he knows about being a journalist, and then he says, F you. So it's like, okay. This person obviously is retarded and a scumbag. Block! And never hear from the motherfucker again.
Ugh.
That's it. That's how you deal with these people. It's like, I don't know, if you've ever gone into the mirror in the morning when you get up and you go, man, that's a massive pimple on my nose. Pop! And it's gone.
I don't know if popping people is quite like popping zits, although both can be very satisfying, for sure. Mm.
Yeah.
There's
an element of satisfaction.
I had a troll for a while. Did you know that I'm a reptile?
Really?
That's totally what happened. Like, I got called out. Total reptile. Not good. Not good. It's bad looks, man. People freak out about that.
Yep.
Are you also a reptile? Have you been accused of this feat as well?
I've not been accused of being a reptile yet. I'm not sure. In fact, when people accuse me of stuff, I just kind of like think about it for a second. I don't know about you, man, but when people tell lies about me, and this happened to me all the way through high school, I'd be suspended from high school for literally doing nothing, for something that somebody else made up. And it's happened more times than I can remember. And there's nothing that you can do to anger me more than to accuse me of something that I didn't do and not believe me.
But, I understand that.
Yeah, and not believe me when I tell you and show you evidence to the contrary.
I think there's Yeah, I think there's an honor thing buried deep in some of us, because just you saying that makes me think of times when I've been told that I either didn't do something that was positive that I actually did do. I think that one hurts. It's just as worse as being accused of something you didn't do, not getting credit. Not only not getting credit, but being told you didn't do it. That's the messed up thing.
Yeah.
That makes me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Your blood kind of boils, and last night I had trouble getting to sleep, because you know when you go to bed angry, you can't sleep, you know, you're tossing and turning, and you're really effed off. For some reason, I feel really good today, like really good today. I was feeling like crap the last couple of days, man, like honestly, because of this money situation with PayPal just messing me around. Whew, it was hardcore.
Dude, I hate money. I hate money so much. I know everybody else does too. It's really strange. I don't know. Sometimes, I mean, pretty much every morning when I get up, I kind of have the same habit. I get up and I kind of take a scan of me. I'm just like, hey, this is me. And then I start thinking about the outside world. And then I just immediately go into this global perspective where I'm just like, how many other people are doing exactly what I'm doing right now? Like, how many people are going to do something that they probably... I like my job. I just don't like how chained to it I am. I like doing the job. It's a lot of fun. But it's really... Oh, it's hard. And I know it's hard. It's a lot harder for other people with their jobs. I just don't know how everyone's still doing it. Like, why hasn't some kind of 100th monkey effect taken over where people are just like, I'm not doing this no more.
Maybe it's because we're not monkeys. Maybe it's because there's an extra layer of things that go on there. Animals of higher intelligence develop the propensity to lie to others and to lie to themselves. And I think that if you're one of the 100 monkeys who's able to lie to himself and say that those other 100 monkeys don't freaking exist, you can keep doing the wrong thing forever. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Rupert, you've done your press-ups.
Yeah, I did a couple. I did a few.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I did my sprinting, you know, just back and forth on the lawn.
That's good. I think you have enough energy that you probably, like, in the middle of the show, probably could just, like, run back and forth a whole bunch.
Yeah. Well, I do drink remarkably large amounts of coffee. In fact, that's one of the hidden secrets of being a successful talk radio show host, is to be high off your nut on caffeine all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it totally makes you sound really in the now. Like, brah.
Brah.
So, let's just jump to something. I saw this on the TV. I saw it on the TV just in passing earlier today, but this is the headline off of Reuters. Colorado prison chief shot on eve of gun laws signing. Somebody shot him in his house just before the governor signed new gun control laws. And Colorado apparently is awash in mass shootings. This is why I try to avoid. I used to really be a news hound. I don't know what happened. I don't know at what point I started like just being like either blasé about the news I find out about or just completely numb to it. Like this is just, it seems like more of the same to me.
I think it's once you realize we're all fracked anyway, the news ceases to have meaning.
It's so defeatist, but so true at the same time, man.
Yeah, well, see, I'm kind of like the eternal defeatist, you know? I'm always self-defeatist, but I'll never be defeated. You know what I'm saying?
You mean like everybody is better than you?
Assuming, yeah. Mostly. That's the best thing. Yeah. It's good to hang out with people that you feel are better than yourself, because if you're the most intelligent person in the room or the most successful or whatever, and everybody else is like sitting around listening to you, talking to you and stuff like that, and the focus is you, It actually concerns me a little that people are like that. And it's happened to me before when I've gone out and been the famous guy and stuff, and it's just been like, dudes, no, don't be that way. Let's just have a drink and have a few laughs and stuff like that. I'm just an ordinary person, okay? Everything that people think that that I am based on radio shows or any of this media stuff that I'm doing where lots of people can see me or hear me isn't me. And I think a lot of radio show hosts forget that. They get entranced by this microphone. They think that the voice coming out of the radio is them, when it's just something that they're saying. It's not them.
It's true. It's very true. The same thing happened to Dice Clay. Like Dice Clay, like the whole nasty thing that he used to do with the Brooklyn accent, that was something that he started just kind of in passing, like as a character. And then when he found out it was really popular, he started doing that on stage. And then the stage personality became his actual personality. So like Andrew Dice Clay, the invention, ate the real Andrew Dice Clay and kind of chewed him up and spit him out. It's kind of weird, man. Fame does weird things to people.
Yeah, it does. And my primary concern is that I'll become the very enemy that I started off doing this to fight. You know what I'm saying? I'll become some kind of a egotistical, sociopathic, knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing, mono-browed, truck-driving...
You kind of sound like...
Bathroom stall graffitiing type of individual who I just don't identify with.
I think secretly, somewhere in there, you actually sort of desire all of those things at the same time.
It's very true.
Yeah, because I know I do too, especially the truck driving and bathroom wall graffitiing. I think that those were the two that made me the most jealous.
Mm-hmm. And this is no offense to knuckle draggers or mouth breathers or people with monobrows or people who graffiti on bathrooms or truck drivers or anything like that. I apologize if anybody's been insulted by that. It was just,
there is a guy covered in Doritos dust right now who is so mad at you. He's sitting there. He's like, oh my God, he just described me.
Like there's this cloud that kind of just got kicked up. Like, you know, when you see a truck driving through the desert and there's this cloud of dust that's kicked up behind it as it rolls through with the semis and what have you. That's what just happened to that guy, and his cloud of Doritos just.
There's that many Dorito particles all over this man.
Yeah. Apparently, when you fart, you fart out poo particles and people inhale them.
That's what I've thought for a long time.
Yeah.
Dude, what else is hitting your nose? What else is making that happen? Poo particles? See, could you count gas as poo particles?
Well, I don't know. I think there's actual solid, you know, little microscopic little poo particles that come out of there, you know. They make it through the thread. If you can smell the gas, it means that there's particulates in it. And my concern is that, you know, your nasal hairs and things like that, that if you farted on enough, there'll be a sufficient residue of poo particles that are captured by your nasal hairs, which are supposed to filter out air to a certain extent, that you'll have this constant smell of fart.
I don't think that's entirely true. I think it's some, like,
I don't know
string theory kind of thing. Depends on where you were. You know, if you were in, like, a movie theater.
We'd have to do some tests. In a lab.
You go eat all that chili and drink all that Orangina that would be, you know, that you would have to have in order to get those kind of results.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the lab would have to have an extractor fan, of course. You know.
And some kind of catcher in the top.
Yeah. Preferably a catcher.
That's disgusting. How did we get here? I have no idea.
Right. You're just a bad person, Rupert, and you take the conversation in a horrific direction.
Oh, wait, yeah.
It was actually me that did that.
I think it was you who said poo particles.
I did.
Said it.
I did. How narcissistic of me. The other side of things is, anyway, you know, shifting on to something a little bit more serious, is the fact that if you're alive and you're paying attention, life becomes really hard because you know how bad things are. Whereas if you're alive and you're not paying attention, life is freaking easy, you know, because you live in one moment to the next. Hey, I'm still able to pay my rent today. Whereas somebody who knows that the bankers are doing all this stuff and whatever is constantly under an aura of stress and threat in their life. And that's actually the reason for this show in particular, is because that used to be me. I used to be feeling threatened and feeling stressed out by all this news and everything that I found out, you know, where previously I'd believed in the system. And I was just thinking, how in the hell do I stop stressing out about all this stuff all day, every day? How do I get out of that mindset of freaking out, saying, screaming 9/11 was an inside job at the top of my lungs, and calling people slaves and sheep and scum and things like that, getting that negativity and that bitterness and everything. And it's just having a laugh, mate. Seriously. If you can't laugh, you'll cry. And so you got to laugh. You have to. You don't really have much of a choice, okay? And hopefully there are people who listen to this program who laugh and actually enjoy it, as opposed to when you're listening to virtually every other program out there where it's like, wow, that's interesting, or, ow, that's really scary. It's very rarely, oh, man, that's freaking hilarious, you know, because when you think of things that are hilarious, you're smiling, you're happy. It's just something that's sadly missing in this movement. And, Rupert, you're one of the only other people that I know that is actually funny and does make videos that make me laugh, kind of thing.
Thanks. Yeah, I really try hard to make silly things serious and then serious things silly. And sometimes it makes people mad and they get upset with me, but that's not ever my intention. But sometimes it happens. But, you know, basically the highest Rupert show on YouTube has just become what is collected at any one point, at any given time in my inbox. It could be something stupid with a cat in it. It could be something very serious with, like, a rape story in it or something weird like that. So, you know, it's just anything. I used to try to do thematic videos, but they always end up 11 minutes long, which is longer than I like to go. They always end up, like, 10, 12 minutes long, and don't come out as good as I want them to. So it's just kind of become the potpourri that it was intended to be, of just all the crap. Like, did you see the latest one? Like, there's some weird stuff in there.
No, but we've only got about 40 seconds to summarize for the audience.
Oh my God, great.
And plug your sites and what have you.
Yes, sir. Well, much like your show, which is a fantastic show, and I'm so glad you had me on again, my show is designed to make you laugh in the face of things that might be funny and might not be funny. So it's High Throughput on YouTube. Check it out and make sure that you can check the channel. I will probably, once this gets posted up, I will probably post it on the page as well.
All right.
What do you got coming up?
What have we got coming up? Some dude named Jabba. I don't think Jabba the Hutt, because as I recall, he got killed by Carrie Head, from Babylon Decoded. Babylon Decoded, I think. Talking about, I don't know.
I know Jabba. Jabba's awesome.
Do you? Okay.
I know that cat.
All right. Excellent. Well, maybe you can listen in then. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. com. Also, just a reminder to people who have cancelled their subscription to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. If you want a refund from the previous account, we can do those for you. And please resubscribe at the homepage, the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com, right there on the homepage, a little PayPal button. We've had all those issues resolved. All right. So we'll see you after the break, ladies and gentlemen.
divided we fall. Unity, please don't desert me. You're the sweetest honey from the
Welcome
honey.
Back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest joining me for this hour, I believe, is Jabba from Babylon Decoded. Jabba, welcome to the program.
Hey, Vinnie, how are you?
I'm good. Were you actually named after a Star Wars character?
Yeah. No.
No.
But okay, everybody compare it with this. No, I just get that from a friend and I keep it.
Okay, okay. And you never lived in a hut at any point in your life?
No.
Jabba, not in a hut. All right. Okay. Well, why don't you just give us a brief explanation of who you are, what it is you do, and, of course, make sure you plug your website first so that people can go and look at that while they listen.
My website, you mean?
If you have one.
Yeah, it's BabylonDecoded.com. That is my way, and the same with Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. I had a band, a reggae band, for 20 years. I was in the music business, but I was a singer, a leader, but I want to play the drum first, but we didn't found a singer, so I had to start to sing and put myself in front of stage. And I made the music a little bit different, where we was like more a group. We was between 10 and 14 on stage. And I really want to have like the musician side. I'm more musicians than singer. And I made a song also with a DJ called Yves LaRocque. And we made a song that calls Rise Up. My dream is to fly over the rainbow so high. And I traveled to around 40 countries to perform and also to observe the world. That is a little bit my story. And then I decide, really, because for me the music business, the music was gone, so it was only business left, and I also had to leave that. the whole change in the music business. So also, like I told you, the music business get hijacked, like everything what people could make live or happy or anything. And that's why I really had to quit, also because I had to go out of my country to continue really to make my music happening. And I didn't want to make that. I wanted to stay with my family. And since then, I just start to continue my research about conspiracy. And since 2 years now, I'm fully like investigating. And since beginning of year, I start really to talk out.
Mm-hmm. What made you decide to get into this kind of thing? Like, you said something there that I thought was very powerful, is that the music business, the music is dead and only the business remains. Could you quantify that?
You know the song Video Kills the Radio Star?
Yeah.
That is exactly what is happening. It is from the moment that MTV start to push the whole artist, the music was gone. So, like, all the focus is on the artist. And as artists, you don't really make a lot of music. I was like, I was making that 100%, but also, of course, I was leader of a band and stuff and everything. But I made maybe 1.5 hour in the week I made music, and the rest of the time I was sitting around to try to organize, to make things happen, and to make interviews and make this and that and that. And the people start to say, oh, they see me on the TV with my band, and they say, oh, now your band is working. But I say, hey, man, I'm since 15 years on stage. It's not because I'm on the TV, I'm suddenly an artist. And that is exactly what is happening. It is like the all the media, all that thing is like focus on the artist itself, and the music is dead. So people watch the guys. If the guy is like ugly or he's not like the one they want to see, his music will not get up. That is like they say in Germany, you need to put boobs on the album. So they, it was like, the tip, we really arrive with that Gangnam style where you can say like, music is really dead. There is like, it's nothing about the music anymore, and it is only it's only the image and the hype or like that thing. And that is hijacked. That is, of course, because for me, music is very powerful. When I start to listen to Bob Marley with 10, I didn't speak a word English, and with 16, I still didn't speak English, and I got all the message what he was singing in his words. So I get that through music. And music is like it's a frequency, it's a vibration, it's the intention you give into the music that will reach out if somebody listens to that. That's why I never made any video clips. I refuse really categoric. Also because I was talking about conspiracy or a new world, a better world, or how like maybe a new topic world. And this message is very powerful. Only the song Rise Up I had and went through the whole world. That is maybe a simple message, but that can make something in the people. If they listen it that over and over again. And again, it's not the word, it's not the music itself. It's really the intention you put in the music. And that is the same if you see like Beyonce and stuff, they put like all the devil stuff in inside. That is for sure. That is vibration. For me, everything is vibration. So if the people are in a bad mood, they spread a bad vibe all around them. If they are good mood, like Winnie, not all the time. Yesterday, you was not on the top.
Yesterday I was on the bottom rung of the mood ladder.
But yeah, me too. I just get declared a bankrupt yesterday too.
Really?
So, welcome to the club.
Okay.
Yeah, that is Switzerland. I will talk about what is Switzerland, because you have a little bit the Swiss week, right?
Do I have the Swiss week? No.
Yeah.
I know.
No, but yeah, you had the Sen Ross, yeah, Monday, right?
Sean Ross. Yeah, I did, yeah.
That's why I said you have the Swiss week. Okay.
Okay.
So,
how did you get declared bankrupt, man? That is so nuts.
Yeah, that is.
Unless you don't want to talk about it, in which case, that's cool.
Oh, of course, I just talk truth. I will tell everything, and I can explain it quite quickly. The thing is, the whole world is under UCC law. The whole world is under UCC law. Even if somebody kills somebody else, we don't talk about justice. Okay? All the laws in each country is a coding from that UCC law. Uniform Commercial Code. You know that, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is, when what is happening is that we are considered as person, right? And if you look, everybody can look on Wikipedia what a person is. A person is a being, such a human that has certain capacities, attributes, a personhood. It's a mask that the Latin actors used in theaters of Rome. That is really, we acting something for the system. So anytime we agree to acting this person, we taking charge of this person. Because if you read the law, there is not human being. They never talk about human being. They talk about person. And that is what we have. They give an identity to us without that. We didn't choose that identity. And what is happening, so anytime, I have to start with the point. In Switzerland, we are born sovereign, okay? If everybody can watch in his birth certificate, if his birth certificate is in capital letters, full capital letters, what is probably yours and all other Commonwealth countries, when your birth certificate, your name is written in capital letters. You know that with the capital letters?
Corporations are written in capital letters. Capitalis diminutio maxima.
Exactly. That is what is happening. In Switzerland, my birth certificate is all in minima, 100%. And that is only in Switzerland and in Germany. I ask all my friends around in Europe what kind of they have, and they have media or maxima. Spain, Portugal, they are maxima. That is because of the treaty convention and everything. So what is that's why Switzerland is very important, and everybody have to understand that Switzerland is not rich because everybody confuse it with the Red Cross. And everybody give his money to Switzerland because they think it's the Red Cross. No, Switzerland is not the Red Cross. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the thing is, in Switzerland, everything that is born or created is sovereign. In Switzerland, we have all the international organizations presented. All. They are all in Switzerland, even UN, FIFA, and you can check out. And the thing is, organizations with which Switzerland has concluded a headquarter agreement, a fiscal agreement, or agreement on privilege and immunity. That is for 100 and 100. That is UNESCO. That is WMO, Organization of Meteorological Healthcare. All organizations, international organizations, have their headquarters in Switzerland. And this because Switzerland is sovereign state. If you create something, you are sovereign. That's why Switzerland is protecting the Pope. That's why all the embassies around the world are sovereign. They're on sovereign land because UN is based in Switzerland. They give the legal, I don't know what, to give them sovereign land in the whole world. And that is the whole corporation, and everything is coming to Switzerland. That's why Shen is very right in what he is saying. And that is like really the templates, and everything is coming from here.
See, now the whole Geneva, Switzerland motif makes a whole lot more sense.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think if the people would read the Geneva Convention, they would realize that since the World War II, we are still in war. We are still in world war. That's why human rights are not respected. That's why everything is not respected. You can accuse Bush of manslaughtering, he will be free. And that is exactly what the trick is happening there. And that's why the Swiss people will never make a revolution. It's like, if you look like the world, most, they make like which is the best country in the world? You have Norway and you have Switzerland. And you cannot even imagine how the people are brainwashed here. They will never make a revolution against, never. Never, never, never.
Is there even so much as a protest going on anywhere? Like, have you ever seen anybody with a placard saying, you know?
Yeah. But I don't believe in that. I personally don't believe in any demonstration because we are giving them importance of what they are doing. What we have to do is really to say, no, I don't participate in that anymore. I'm not that person. I'm just the administrator of that person. So they cannot come to you. You always ask a judge or a policeman when he asks you something, because you're always allowed to ask questions. You just have to be polite. And if you ask him a question, do you respect the fundamental human rights? And then they will say yes. So anytime they come back to you, from human to human, you always get the first article of the human, because that is the only one who really work. The first article of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. That is the only one that really work, because nobody can really judge you, cannot aggress you, cannot do anything with you. And also in the original Declaration of Human Rights, it's written everyone. And if you go to the UN website, it's written person. So they always trick. Law is only trick. And that is exactly the same like with the capital letters. What is happening? The people don't see it. This always is just happening as illusion. But if that is the problem. I am Switzerland. If I have my birth certificate with it and somebody come that where the name is not written the same, I will say, no, this is not like this is on my birth certificate. I want my name written in minima. And they can't, because they can't write you a bill with the name in minima, because the application is already done that the family name is written in capital letters, so they cannot send you any bill. And that is what is going on. What is going on now? Like, is this the biggest phone company want to charge me because of a bill that I didn't pay? It's not that big. But the only thing is that I don't have even a network with my mobile phone here where I am living. So they don't cover my place. So I have always double bill because I have to call back or anything. And I didn't agree with that. I didn't want that they're going to charge me for that. And that's why the company is coming to me now, and I just will go up to each court until I will hopefully win the case.
All right. Well, if that's the case, we'll be right back after the break with Jabba from BabylonDecoded.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening into the Vinny Eastwood Show. I must say, I really, really appreciate all the different awesome guests like Jabba that we get on the show. And what's interesting is that when you've got really awesome various guests, you actually have really awesome various listeners as well. I love it. We'll be right back in just a few minutes, folks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. I guess everybody's really familiar with New Zealand now. We've got dwarves, hobbits, and in some cases, giant beasts from the black abyss, shrouded in flames and mystery, called a prime minister. My very special guest is Jabba from Babylon Decoded. Welcome back, sir.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
And you also have Winnie.
Yeah. I come up with all these Jamaican jokes, you know, based on the word mon. Like, you know, what do you call a Jamaican pair of sunglasses? A monocle.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Respect.
And what do you call a Jamaican system of government? And monarchy.
Monarchy. From Buckler.
I thought they were rather clever, you know. I do come up with really lame jokes like that. By the way, anybody listening, there is a jokes page on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. So if you go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and you look down on the left, there's a whole bunch of little links and stuff there. One of them is jokes. And I've come up with many, many, many original awful jokes that you can read through and laugh about. It's quite funny, actually.
I will check that out.
Now, we were going to be talking about OPPT. I've heard from, maybe 10 people have sent me emails or Facebook messages or something, or mentioned it in a conversation about OPPT, and I still have no idea what it is.
Okay. When I discovered it, I was like, really like, oh, this is it. That is like how I get into it. I was really like, because I hear from somebody else who was already talking about it and explain it and everything. So I tried to jump in it, and it is very difficult to understand. It is, you don't get it. You have to be, I don't know what you have to be exactly, but the people who jump in it is the mostly people who not really wake up since long time. I mean, I am aware of what is happening since 20 years. I read the Bloodline of Illuminati 20 years ago, and I think that that guy is just nuts. You had him also, Fritz Springmeier, on your show. And the people who are jumping on OPPT, they first have no idea about law, and they are not really awakened. And that is a huge problem. For me, it was a huge problem because from the beginning, I just ask questions all the time. I'm really curious. I want to know everything. I want to know how it happened. I want to know where it comes from and blah, 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 blah. So just to explain OPPT in a few words, OPPT is a trust, a bond. And three people, three trustees, they declare that everything is in that trust. All people, whole humanity, whole nature, and even the creator is in that trust. In a UCC trust, in that, yeah. UCC is commercial law, 100% commercial law. You have that is the most lowest law you can have in the whole system we have today. So, they declare all corporations illegal. They say the BIS bank, all the Federal Reserve and all that thing and stuff is illegal. That is not working anymore. And we will shut down with over that OPPT. We will make full disclosure and everything is coming back to the people. That is the main idea how they try to push it through. Now, the problem is, if all humanity, nature, and even the creator is in a trust, a trust is a piece of paper. No values, no rights, nothing. So, if we are going really into that, you can bring down the corporation. I believe that. I think it will take very long time. But you can take down the corporation. Now, who owns the corporation? They are sovereign. They are sovereign. They have sovereign passports. Also to know that it's not only Switzerland who is sovereign, but the whole Vatican, all the City of London, all Washington, D.C. is sovereign state. And there are private people. Private people are sovereign people. That means everybody is sovereign, by the way. That is, if we talk about sovereign, it's just about the legal case we have on this world. We are not sovereign anymore. By the way, everybody can check in his passport. There is a P, and that P means pauper. That means poor guy, impotent, slave. That is the P in the passport, but just by the way. But back to the OPPT. Now the thing is, they ask people to subscribe, to use their tools, to use their paper, and contracting in UCC law, you don't need a signature. That is very important to know for the people. In UCC law, you just need your agreement. You just need to say, I'm opt-in, I'm free, and everything in capital letters, and boom, the contract is done. And what this really means, that means you are contracted now to that trust. You lose all your citizen right, everything, fully 100%. Today, every time we are working with the authorities, police or the judge, we have to give our consent all the time, each time. But with this OPPT, everybody give away his land, his thing and everything and put everything in that trust. That is how it's happening, because the trust is empty for the moment. So where, if the people are opting in, and again, what I'm saying about OPPT is just like the last 2 months, I study OPPT. We also create a group that is facebook.com/onepeoplespublictruth and not one people's public trust, because trust and truth is something completely different. A trust is really a bond and a piece of paper, a value. Now what is happening? If everybody agree to that OPPT in that trust, then the corporation own us all in once. The corporation itself is down. We have chaos completely. And that is the goal, what they want to do. Well, also what is to know that is 7076, that is the number of that trust. And they say that was creation of America, not Constitution of Freedom or
Declaration of Independence.
Thank you. But it's not that. It's the year of the creation of the Illuminati.
And on May the 1st, I believe, according to the records, which is internationally renowned as a satanic holiday, which incidentally is World Socialism Day.
Oh.
Like work, it's called Workers' nice. Day. It's called Workers' Day, you know.
Workers' Day, yes, yeah, slave day. Perfect. And if you take 7076 plus 13, the lovely number of the Illuminati, you come to the French Revolution. And French Revolution was triggered exactly what they do now. They want to create full whole chaos out of everything and take down the whole corporation and everything. And we are just straight away in the FEMA camps and in all that shit. And that's why also the Swiss people are just kept well, not that well like me, because if not, I would not talk out like that. But to most of the people you talk around, even about simple stuff, not even big, no, it's not possible. And always what the people say is, no, the government would not do that to us, and we would see it on the TV. Well, so back to the OPPT. The thing is that this trust is talking about very weird stuff in different interviews, because I have to say I read a lot of these documents. I hear a lot of these radio shows. We are really investigating what is happening. I would like to come back a little bit later once in your show, even if it's just for a little bit, because I'm investigating fully now. I even contacted the guy who made this declaration to take down the whole thing, because it comes back to Switzerland with the guy who is in Panama, who is searched by Interpol, who was not in Switzerland since 40 years, and he put his fingerprint on the main document of that OPPT. So investigation is on, and it's very interesting what is happening. But I would just say to the people to know, what is UCC law? That is very important, that they get the main information what UCC law is and how UCC law functions. That is the main thing, is very important. And secondly, in UCC law, you don't need a signature to contract. You just need your consent. And when the people are writing on their, because OPPT is asking that the people are putting their picture on their website with their name on it. And if the people don't see that, it's so obvious. And a lot of logos, if you turn them around, you have pyramids inside. You have stuff. It is very crucial that that this thing is coming now up. And so many people get catched in that. Mostly people are coming from religions, and they have to believe in something, and they believe in OPPT, because we are getting tricked out with that one People's Public Truth. Because we was named trolls, we just was asking questions on OPPTN. That is all. We just ask how this can function, how this can function. And the corporation is not possible to take with UCC law, the corporations, you can take them down, but not the sovereign, the owner, the puppet master of the puppets. You can take the puppets down, but the puppet master will be the same, and they will own everything in once. And that sounds very much New World Order for me.
So you think that there's a possibility that OPPT might actually be a sort of a way to capture those people who understand how the system and how it's meant to try and own everybody and deceive them by getting them to consent to everything being owned by the New World Order. Is that about right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's very tricky because it sounds really like the revelation that the corporation come down, that the new world will coming and shifting into the fifth dimension, and they take off all the new age. And even if you check the new age, what is really who is what and where and who is saying what? For me personally, it is the manipulators are the most manipulated. That is for me a very important point, because I think even the ones who are in that OPPT, they don't see what is really going on. They are used. I see that they are really used for something, and that they, if you check a little bit the background of all these people, they are not what they are trying to say what they are. And that, or even in the interviews, if you listen to that stuff, and so many people ask so many questions, and they cannot answer. I was in the beginning, I sent to Lisa. I was in email contact with Lisa. She answered me. I say, how you want to take with UCC law the sovereigns down? And she say, yeah, you have to trust, you have to wait, and the thing will come, and for the disclosure will come, we will announce, and we will take the Pope down, we will take the Queen down. And I was like, hey guys, calm down. It is impossible with UCC law. You cannot take this kind of people down. That is impossible. In the law today, you cannot be everybody in UCC law. And what they are saying is that we are coming back to common law. But what is happening between? You know what I mean? We give everything away to like the lowest law where you can defend yourself. And then we make full disclosure what is not possible with that UCC law. And then we go back to common law. But no, because the ones who own that all that trust is not the people. It will be somebody who is on sovereign state. And that is all what is happening also in America now with that underground tunnels, that huge building and that all that stuff. They are preparing for something. It's obvious they are preparing for something. And now who play really what kind of game? Even the Freemasons. We don't really know what is really going on. But I think the conspiracy is way bigger than just like on Earth some guys who just manipulate some other guys. I don't think it's that. It is more, for me, it's more a question of energy floating, and you can go down or you can go up, and that is you to how to choose. But you can go very deep and you can go very up. I think that is a little bit what is happening.
And then you go down and back around, because history repeats itself over and over and over again. And I think that I'm really concerned of people who propose solutions. Ironically speaking, you know, like, I'm less concerned about people who are exposing the problems than I am about the people who are proposing solutions, because that's how the New World Order actually works. It creates a problem, then through people's reaction to said problem, they then propose a solution, which obviously, usually, universally, benefits them and only them. That is why I'm very concerned about it. Doesn't mean I don't want solutions. It just means that I'm not willing to follow anybody who's proposing them to a large degree. We'll be right back after the break.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We're on at 5 days a week, going out live 5 till 7 Central Time, 3 till 5 Pacific, and 6 till 8 Eastern. And I believe it's about 11 till 1 p.m. local UK time, and European time, midnight till 2 a.m. So if you're a conspiracy theorist, up late, listening to very, very scary things, this is the show for you. My very special guest is Java from BabylonDecoded.com. You know, for some reason, the whole concept of music with you has really kind of struck a chord with me, and I keep going back to that, the music business, and the music is dead, and the only thing that remains is the business. And I think, like, we were just listening to, say, what was his name, Bob Dylan there, you know, the times they are changing. And I've been talking to some of my elders, and they lament that the Bob Dylans and the Janis Joplins and the Jimi Hendrix and all of these, and the John Lennons and what have you, these people who really changed the thinking of a generation, don't exist anymore, right? Not in the same form, at least. And I've talked to a number of musicians on this show, people who are, in my opinion, supremely talented, yet nobody knows about them.
Mm-hmm. No, that is also, I made a song, and I was very, very, very lucky, because the song came, really, how it worked, it was like, we was both unknown, the DJ more than me. I put my voice on a song, and that song went around the world, and I just saw how the things went. It went just to the right person on the right place with the right song, with the right mood, with the right lyrics, with the right thing and stuff, and boom. And that was really like, but there are hundreds of thousands of songs like that out there. It's really just because it was the hype on the right place, with the right touch, with the right flower, anything. And the right person who was motivated to and believed in it, and boom, it went up. It went even earlier up than what they want. They even had to pre-release it because it was already in the clubs and stuff up. In France, they even missed the release. The people had already... because they release it too late, and so the people just download it illegally and everything. And the download is one part that destroyed a lot of artists. But we have to understand that it is the music industry who want to keep the CD as long as they can. Because they knew that when it goes to download, it would get really cheap. And in a way, I also think they want to destroy the whole market, that they just can put the artists, the ones who are really work with the Illuminati or with whoever is up there who want to give their things. And we also, one of the best example, I think, is Michael Jackson, because he was manipulated by the Illuminati big time. He get lyrics from guys to sing and stuff, and then suddenly he realize what he is doing, and then he wake up, and then he want to talk out. I think in the last tour he was ready to talk to a lot of thousand people, and I think that should not happen. That is definitely something, at least with Michael Jackson, you can really, really be 100% sure, because he put even his stuff in the video clips big time, and he put the finger on it. It's not like that he promoted like Jay-Z or all the others are doing. Even the new clip of Justin Timberlake. Also, big time Illuminati symbols all over the place. Even like the parents who making this handshake. Oh, it's big time. But what the thing is, like you said, it is really when you put intention to a music that can reach really the people. And that I wrote also from Fritz Springmeier in the Illuminati book, that they will come to everybody. They will hijack everything what people are interested and where they could get wake up. By the way, vaccines are there not to pollute your body, like you say, the mercury and stuff that is, of course, and aluminium is not good for the body. But it makes that the kids don't have fever. And high fever is the only way you can wake up the right side of your brain. Okay? That is high potential energy for humans to develop their thing. I have zero vaccine. My kids have zero vaccine. We are never sick. We are never sick. That is, my parents already knew that. My grandfather already knew that. And my grandfather was somebody who hired Jewish people in France and in Switzerland, and he was in the revolution. And he also gets bit on him when he said that what Hitler is really doing. And the people around were saying, yeah, crazy. And he had to hide. My grandfather had to hide because he was talking in the time. And he saw the thing coming. He was in the war and he was like in the resistance. So it's very important that the people who have still the free speech that they have to talk out. The people don't realize that. It's less and less countries where you really can say what you want. Here I'm fully 100% by law. They cannot tell me. Because I don't accuse anybody. I think everybody is victim in that whole conspiracy. Everybody. Everybody, even the manipulators, everybody is like in that kind of trap to and over the darkness. But I think what a really important point in that whole conspiracy thing is solutions and the positivity. Because a lot of conspiracy theorists, they are really going in that dark ground. They're going in the rabbit hole, but they don't find out anymore.
And you get what you pay for, in other words.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And one really important thing is that we have emotions and we have feelings. Emotions coming from the head and can be manipulated. Feelings cannot be manipulated. And if you really know what your feelings are saying, then you always have the truth. Because your heart always know, but the brain disturb the whole thing.
You know, there's something that also strikes a chord with me as well, because you know, I sing and write songs and do it with my friend and stuff, and it actually it is really about feeling and a sensation when you're thinking about something, when you're singing about something, when you're coming up with lyrics. The whole concept of how you felt at that moment is almost the very baseline by which you structure the song, even more so than the beat or the rhythm.
Well, I have a theory why also I have a little bit a different background than the most conspiracy theorists, because I was not in that matrix for my first 12 years. I grew up in a private school. We was a big family of 250 people. We different people from different places, different language, different handicaps, different issues, everything together. And that for us was the thing to do and or to live. And for me, the outside world didn't exist until my 10th, 12th years. And I jumped really into the system and into that whole thing. And I could never understand it. I could not understand money. I could not understand authority. For me, was out of life concept. So I try my best to conform to this, but I never reached that. I was always broke. I was always like, if I had money, I just give it out to anybody. but for me, I just did all my decisions from my heart. And that is a very powerful thing that the people have to understand. I just can make a little, I call that thinking with the heart. And thinking with the heart is, a baby can say no and yes. It cries or is happy. It's nothing else. It's yes or no. Your heart don't can tell you stories about anything. But what it makes is put you in a lower state. When your heart is in a higher speed, your vibration is lower. Okay? And when you are calm, when you are until meditating, your vibration is higher. And vibration is frequency. Everybody can check that out. The heart frequency and all that shit. And we are 70% water and 99% water molecules. If you change the water, if you say asshole water, then the structure change in the water. If you say I love you water, then the water is changing. And that is creating a magnetic field around us. And this one can make that your right brain, that stimulates your right brain. That means there is not impossible and all that shit anymore. There is possible suddenly. And as more as you are positive, more you have in you are in a higher vibration. And that is what we have to reach. We really have to stay in all situations as positive as we can. And because we are spreading, and when the people... when I start to speak out, I say, I want to change the world. And you cannot change the world if you don't change first yourself. But if you change yourself, we are part of the whole universe. That is what I think.
Eloquent words, sage advice, and BabylonDecoded.com. That's what we've got from here. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I hope you go to BabylonDecoded.com and check out some of the research, some of the music. And it's a heck of a lot better than I'm back to some biatch, with my 22-inch rims and I'm doing the cocaine. Blah, blah, blah. You know, that kind of stuff is just terrible. Like, my car, my radio is fracked, so I can't get any higher frequencies or anything, so I can only get, like, my FM, which is 24/7 Illuminati-loving rap, which is terrible. I hate it. All right. Well, thank you very much, Jabba,
thank
for
you
your
so
time.
Much. Thank you
we'll
so, so much.
We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.
Stay positive.